Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. And today we're going to be studying about the noise of a cry. The noise of a cry. Remember that in the book of Zephaniah we're dealing predominantly with passages that will ultimately have their fulfillment in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, mighty men are going to cry. And their cry will come from literally every part of that area there around Jerusalem and Judah. And the reason is disclosed in this text. Let's read the passage and you'll see why. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How, ye inhabitants of Maktesh? For all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now, verse 14 shows you that it's the great day of the Lord. We're speaking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in this context. Now, what we want to do is we obviously see that people are crying, but the question is, why? What is causing grown men to cry out and howl at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we'll see from the text what it is. First of all, we see in verse 11, merchants are cut off. Mighty men are crying because merchants are cut off. Look what he says. How, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. You see, what we have going on today is we have an economy that's really worldwide, that is a consumer-type economy. Make it and make them buy it in order to turn the money. Nations get the idea that if they're wealthy by their merchandise, that they can trust in their wealth and that their wealth gets them, and in the protection their wealth gets them. But the Lord brings them down because they forget God. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's one of the most alarming verses when you consider how our nation is forgetting God. And I mean, they're being helped to forget. You know, I realize that we in the Constitution we have a law that says the Congress is to make no law to establish a religion. But I mean, boy, where in the Constitution do you get the idea that Congress's job is to make the nation forget God? Because that's what's happening. Now, in Revelation chapter 18, we see the merchants crying at the fall of Babylon. This is before they realize they're going down. They cry, they wail, because she's being destroyed. Look in Revelation 18:11. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. See, how you get to their pocketbook, you can make a grown man cry. That's what's happened here. Notice in verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster, and all the company and ships, and all sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. I mean, you talk about making a grown man cry. Got to their pocketbook. Well, that's what's going to happen. Men are going to cry at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're going to go broke. Look in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 23, look at verse 8. They're going to go broke. Isaiah 23:8. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish, there is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea, he shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. So when a person has become proud, which our nation has and other nations have, of their merchandise and of their wealth, and our nation has done that and other nations have done that, then at some point in time the Lord passes through and takes them down. The proud shall be abased. Look in Ezekiel chapter 27 at verse 12. There's a sizable passage here. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 12. All of this concerns Tyre, but it's connected with the kingdom of the Antichrist, and there's quite a passage here. Ezekiel 27, verse 12. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in thy fairs. Javan, Tubal, Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, and broidered work, fine linen, and coral, and agate. Judah was involved in this. Minnith and Penang were involved in this. Damascus, verse 18, was involved in this. 19, Dan and Javan were occupied in this. They were bringing iron, cassia, calamus. Dedan brought in precious clothes. Arabia brought in lambs, rams, and goats. I mean, I'm just running down a list here and cutting out some of the verse just to show you that really they were involved in basically a worldwide market. And whatever one nation had that another nation needed, they simply traded off, bought and sold. We come down here and we get all the way down to verse 26. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers, the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots. You see what happens here is men cry, grown men cry, mighty men cry, when all of a sudden God comes in the great day of the Lord and destroys their merchandise and destroys their shipping industry and destroys their pipelines and destroys their monetary exchanges and leaves them high and dry, and there's no more way for them to make another dime. And God will do that. And men will cry. Why else do they cry, according to our text? They don't only cry because the merchants are cut off, they cry because complacent men are surprised. Look in verse 12. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on the lees. Okay, those men that are settled on the lees, they're at ease, they're complacent. That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Now, these men sitting on their lees are described not only here, you know, when like a wine bottle or something is to settle on its lees, it means what happens is it sits in a place for a long time until the dregs all gather in one spot in the bottle and then it can be removed. All right, in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11, Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees. You see that? He's at ease. And had not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste is remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Basically what the Lord's describing there is, I haven't dealt with Moab in a long time, and they've settled on their lees. And now what I need to do is I move them from vessel to vessel and get those dregs out of the bottle. He said, I have not done that to Moab in a while. All right, so this thing about these men on the lees here in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord finds them, searches them out with candles, and punishes them. Because they're saying, they're not saying it out loud, they're saying the Lord's not going to intervene here. He's not going to do good, and he's not going to do evil. But he will. See, these are men that have no fear of God, and they think that God is not involved with them one way or the other. That's the conclusion they've come to. But then suddenly, without warning, these men are shocked, they are surprised, they are awestruck, because they really thought that God was out of the picture, and suddenly God shows up and destroys them and their cities, and they're absolutely astonished. I mean, look at the big party that Belshazzar was having in Daniel chapter 5. I mean, he had no more concern about the potential for attack than a man in the moon. So what do? He had a great feast in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. You know what kind of money it would cost to throw a party for 1,000 people? While they tasted wine, he commanded them to bring in the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and wives, his concubines, might drink therein. And then they brought the gold vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. The king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, that's merchandise, and silver, merchandise, of brass, merchandise, of iron, merchandise, of wood and of stone. And that's when the fingers of a man's hand showed up and wrote in the wall the condemnation of his kingdom, and it fell in a day. You know what he was? He was a complacent man. You know what happened to him? He was shocked. He was surprised. And you know what it'll do? It'll cause men to cry. When he saw that revelation on that wall and could find no interpreter, his knees were shaking together. He was so scared. The noise of a cry. Why? Merchants are cut off. Complacent men are surprised. What else? Their goods are spoiled. Look at verse 13. Therefore their goods shall become a booty. You know what happens? The Lord comes through there with his candle in verse 12, finds everyone and everything. And then what happens is the enemy comes in and takes everything he wants and leaves their houses desolate. I mean, he doesn't even leave the children. He gets whatever he wants. It's kind of like when, I believe it was the Assyrians that warned Ahab, said, I'm coming in to get you. And Ahab said, okay, all right, go ahead. I'll let you do it. And then they come back in and they say, no, we're going to take more than we want. We were going to take your wives and your kids, but we're going to take your wives and your kids and your possessions. We're going to take everything we want. And that's when they drew the line and actually went to battle against these guys. So you say, what's up? Well, what's up is this. They're going to cry because they've depended upon their goods. They depended upon their houses. They depended upon the accumulation of their wealth. Jesus Christ said, a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Look at Isaiah chapter 39, verse 3. What does the Bible say? In Isaiah 39, 3, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? This is when the Babylonians came to visit him after he was healed. And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I've not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. There it is. Their goods are spoiled. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And nothing was left. And of thy sons that issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Boy, I'll tell you what, when a nation has accumulated a lot of wealth from the spoils of war, and then another nation comes in and takes everything away, causes grown men to cry. The noise of a cry. Why else are they crying? Because their houses are desolate. Look again in verse 13, therefore their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. You've gotten a chance to see desolation here lately, if you've been paying attention to the news at all. You have seen the destruction that was left in the wake of tornadoes throughout the Midwest in the United States. You have seen the destruction to entire populations when a cyclone went through Myanmar. You've seen desolation and destruction like unimaginable in China following an earthquake. You say, what? What is the deal? That's what it looks like when your houses are left desolate. In other words, you're used to driving home, and you see your house, and you see your neighbor's house, and you see your neighborhood, and you see your city, and you think everything's going to continue just the way that it is. But all of a sudden, you have to imagine what it's like to drive home one day. And maybe you've experienced this. To drive home one day, and suddenly you see that your whole house is gone. And everything in it is gone. There's nothing to pick through the rubble. It's gone. I remember driving home from work one day, and I turned the corner down the street that I lived on in a smaller town, and there was a fire engine out in front of my house. Well, I'll tell you what it does. It causes a sinking feeling right away. You think, uh-oh, you know, because you think this is at my house. It's not. It was at a neighbor's house across the street. But it'll send you a little shock in there. And if you get there and suddenly find out, like Job did, all your children are gone, their house imploded in upon them, all of your possessions are gone, and everything is desolate, you'll cry. That's what these men do. The noise of a cry at the great day of the Lord during the second advent. Why? Because merchants are cut off. Complacent men are surprised. Their goods are spoiled. Their houses are desolate. And what happens? Others inhabit their houses and harvest their vineyards. Look at verse 13 again. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. What do you mean? The enemy just comes in, bang, right when the vineyard is ready to harvest, and when these guys are really kind of getting settled into their houses, and take them captive, and then they come into possession of the vineyards and of the houses. We have private property laws in this state and still protected in the United States. You can just imagine some enemy comes in and says, no, you don't live here anymore. This is my house. And they just kick you out. And that's what happens. And men will cry. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 30, it should come to no surprise to any country that ever had God as their God when they forsake God that this is going to happen to them. Because, look, in Deuteronomy 28, 30, God made a statement to the Jews. He made many statements in Deuteronomy 28. That are fair warnings to us here in this country, but he made a specific statement regarding this verse in Deuteronomy 28:30 when he said, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. What happens? The enemy just comes in, takes over right where you were, and kicks you out. You see, the shocker is that the United States sees no possibility that anything like this could ever happen. And that's tragic. Because a generation now has been raised without the fear of God. And when they see what he can do, the shout and the cry of this country will ring all the way to the heavens. I mean, we are just like the merchant city, if there ever was one. Our economy here is nothing more than a consumer economy. We worship merchandise in this country. And when the merchandise is gone, you're going to hear the howl and the wail and the cry of people who have been at ease a long time and have never had trouble on their own shores. 9/11 was the first time we ever really experienced that level of attack by an enemy on our shores, and we didn't like it. But just imagine if they're well organized and cross one of the borders and come in here and start messing with us. You say, well, we'll just drop the bomb. What, on ourselves? I mean, you got to think this through. And the Lord said to these guys, he said, you're going to cry. And he's given them the prophecy. You're going to cry. You've got all this wealth laid up for you in store. It's going to be gone. You have a house that you can tow to. It's going to be gone. And if your house isn't gone, you get home and you expect to be able to lie down in your bed and somebody else is lying down in it with a gun that says you can't stay here. You say, well, this is my house. I got papers to prove it. And they say, so what? We've taken it now. And that's all going to happen around the day of the Lord. What else happens? He says in verse 14, The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. Why does he cry? Because of the voice of the Lord. In other words, he's had all this other loss. The merchants are gone. The complacent men are surprised. Their goods are spoiled. Their houses are desolate. Others inhabit their houses and harvest their vineyards. But then they cry out because of the voice of the Lord crying out. In other words, when God's voice rings out, it is so scary they cry out and howl in shock. It's like you walking in your house and then somebody has hidden in one of the rooms. I mean, somebody that's even a member of your house hides in one of the rooms. You walk by, it's dark, it's night, it's quiet, and they jump out from behind a door or a wall and boo you, you know, like that. And you scream and holler. Well, it's like that when the voice of the Lord shows up. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, we see what the voice of the Lord sounded like on Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments to the Jews. Exodus chapter 19, verses 18 and 19. Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended up as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So what do they hear? They hear a trumpet. Have you ever noticed when the seventh seal opens, there's the sound of the trumpet? You ever notice that when the Lord comes back at his second coming in Matthew chapter 24, that there's the sound of a trumpet? You know what it is? It's the voice of the Lord. You see that voice in Revelation 1. You see that voice in Revelation chapter 4. He hears the trumpet and he turns around and he sees a man talking to him with the voice of a trumpet. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 16, and see what the reaction of the Jews was when they heard that voice. Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 16. Verse 15 for the context, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. You see, it scared them. It scared them when they heard that voice. They said, I don't want to hear that voice anymore, and we don't want to see that fire anymore. It's too scary. You go, you find out, you come tell us. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did. They had said, we don't want to hear from God directly. So Jesus Christ shows up to talk to them in the place of God, and they say, we don't want to hear you, we want to hear God. And then make up your mind. Just make up your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse 23. It came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. They're scared. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we'll hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there was such an heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them, and with their children forever. You know what he's saying? He said, I know you don't want to hear my voice, but then again, I'm letting Zephaniah speak. You don't want to hear him. I let my son Jesus Christ speak. You didn't want to hear him. I let Moses speak. You didn't want to hear him. Why do they cry? Because they're scared of that voice. And he wanted to scare them so that they would listen to him and do what he said. But notice what happens when his voice shows up in Revelation chapter 6. When they know he's on the way, do you think they're going to wait to turn around and listen to him? Do you think they're going to search out the prophet to see what it is that God is saying? No way. They've never done it before. They're not going to start now. What do they do when they hear the voice of the Lord coming at the second advent of Jesus Christ? You know what they do? They run. They hide, and they try to protect themselves. Look in Revelation, and they cry. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? Now you see that right there? You say, what is that going on? I'll tell you what that is going on. What that is going on is that they see the Lord coming, they hear the Lord coming, they are scared to death, they are crying out to the rocks and to the mountains to fall on us so that those mountains and rocks would hide them from the face of Almighty God, because he's coming in the day of his wrath. That's what we've been studying right here in Zephaniah. So the noise of a cry, isn't that something? You're gonna be right now, see, it's the poor people that cry and the rich men that get rich and oppress them. The mighty men, the great men, the kings. Boy, things are sure going to change when God comes back to take vengeance. So why do they cry? Because their merchants are cut off. Why do they cry? Because complacent men are shocked. They're surprised. They're scared. Why do they cry? Because their goods are spoiled and they depended upon their goods. Why do they cry? Because their houses are desolate. And that is something you'll see in news reports anytime you see desolate houses. People will cry. Why do they cry? Because others inhabit their houses and harvest their vineyards, and nobody can stop them from doing it. Why do they cry? They cry because the voice of the Lord cries out, and when they hear that voice of the Lord, they are scared to death. You see, it's real convenient right now for these scientists, so-called scientists, and officials, so-called officials, to make laws and to make statements that are very blasphemous against God, and to make you think that to pray to God is somehow or another establishing a religion in this country, and to teach that God created this place is to somehow say that we're establishing a religion. They want you to be irreligious. They don't want you to have any concept of God whatsoever is the problem. They want to be God. And when that happens and people forsake God and then God shows up, he shows up in wrath, and when he does, you know what happens? Those people who tried to kick God off his throne are shocked and they cry out. Now suddenly they're looking for mercy. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a shock. Not to us, who we see it, but to those who have tried to get rid of God, I'll tell you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.